Well, I was reading through my Bible again, and I got to Leviticus, and I have never really sat down and just really, you know, when you're reading through your Bible, sometimes your goal is just read through your Bible. But then things that jump out at you sometime, and I was reading through, and this jumped out at me. I haven't read it in a good while. Chapter 18 of Leviticus, chapter 18 of Leviticus, you can, if you're going to put a title on it, you could say, why did God give land to the Jews and cast out the inhabitants of that land? Or, is it ever God's will that people will be killed? Or, can he still be a loving God and a God of hate? Well, this passage, it's really two chapters, and I got to hurry. They really explain this. They really explain these questions. They answer these questions. And not only that, these passages decry all the modern problems of the modern church, right here in these passages. Chapter 18, mostly. God gave land to the Jews because the inhabitants, over hundreds of years, had devolved into what we're going to read tonight. And he'll give others your land if you act like this too. Now, the contemporary church, the modernists preach, but they never preach these subjects. You know why? They don't read the Bible. The modernists, and we call them contemporary now, but we used to call them modernists, meaning they're trying to be modern. They don't read the Bible because they don't believe the Bible. So they'll cherry pick things to preach on. Cherry pick. If this message was taught on national television, they would be taken off TV. Look at chapter 18. We're going to read a little bit as we go along. Verses 1 through 5 first. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do, and after doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, ye shall not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. Ye shall do my judgments, and keep mine ordinances, to walk therein, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes, and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. Now, you got to go back. You got to think about who he's talking to. Moses, God told Moses, said, God will cast out or destroy these nations in order for Israel to live there. Yeah. He did. Now you got to think about what that means. That means men, women, and children. That means old and young. That means sick and well. That means educated and uneducated. That means those who think they're innocent and those who are not. And by the way, none of these people are innocent. He will remove one group of people in a nation to populate it with another nation. You got to remember, what God sees as good people and man sees as good people are two very different things. Now, mankind says, well, they're good. They've never killed anybody. They never robbed a bank. So they're good. No, that's not. There's a lot more to it than that. See? And you also, what man says is culture is sometimes what God says is sin. Now, my culture is I eat grits and eggs. But my culture in that is not sinful. God never said don't eat grits and eggs. Matter of fact, there's a verse in there somewhere, I'm going to find it one day, it says there's going to be grits and eggs in heaven. Angel food, amen. God told Moses to kill and drive out these people because of the way they live. It didn't happen overnight. You got to remember they had a general knowledge. These people had a general knowledge of God and the things of God all the way back to creation. Everybody did. Everybody did. Moses married a priest, his daughter, and he was not a Jew. So you know everybody still knew what the real God was, just everybody wasn't Jews. It's not like they didn't know. They did know and turned away from it. And all knew God had holy standards of conduct. Every one of them knew that. So some just made up gods who didn't have holy standards of conduct. They were not natives. They were heathens. They were heathens. That's what the Bible calls them, heathens. Now we like to dramatize and glamorize these people we call natives, even Native Americans. But they weren't worshiping the right God, the one and only true God, and they were doing a lot of things that God said don't do. Yes. And we'll not romanticize something that God condemns. And boy, you get talking to me about history of America and the Native Indians and things like that. I'm just talking to Billy. The reason Fort Mill's named Fort Mill is because there's what's left of an old fort over there that Spratt built for the Catawba Indians to hide from the Cherokee Indians, because once a year the Cherokee Indians would come down on raiding parties, and the Catawbas were farmers. They were not fighters. They wanted to be mixed in with the white folks. And so what happened is those Cherokees would come down once a year and rape, pillage, and kill and destroy what the Catawbas had. Those weren't natives. They were heathens. You can go up the mountains and romanticize that all you want to. But they killed little boys and little girls and raped women and stole their stuff. And I'm not against people that are Indians, don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying, let's don't romanticize what God calls sin. These people are not gay, they're homosexuals, they're sodomites. Don't romanticize that. These people are not cohabitating, they're living in adultery. They're adulterers and adulteresses. Y'all still with me? So I just looked through these verses and I saw some things. In chapter 19, you'll see where he says that. Look at verse 24 and 25, and we'll get back to verse chapter 18. In verse 24 and 25, chapter 19. Nope, I wrote down the wrong verses. But listen, what I'm saying is this. We need to see what God says. Look at chapter 18, verse 24 and 25. There it is. Defile not yourselves in any of these things. For in all these the nations are defiled which I cast out before you. And the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. What's he talking about, preacher? Well, let's look at chapter 18. In verse 1 through 5, he says, spake to the Lord. He said, saying them, I'm the Lord your God. In verse 2, in verse 3, he says, after doing the lands of Egypt and Canaan, don't do it. In verse 4, he said, ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. And ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. In other words, he said, I'm going to show you what to do. I'm going to tell you what to do. It's not going to be a secret. If you do what I say and not what they do, you go in the land of Canaan, there's probably a nice family live next door to you, and you could probably live there for the rest of your life, but they worshiped idols, and they believed in incest and adultery and bestiality and all these things. And by the way, aren't we not getting close to that now?
Yes.
Now look at verse 6. None of you shall approach to any that's near kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. The nakedness of thy father, the nakedness of thy mother, thou shalt not uncover. She is thy mother, and thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, the daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. The nakedness of thy son's daughter or of thy daughter's daughter, even the nakedness thou shalt not uncover, for theirs is thine own nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister, she is thy father's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife, she is thine aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are her near kinswomen. It is wickedness. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her, to uncover her nakedness beside the other in her lifetime. And also thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she put apart for her uncleanness. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. Thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech. That was a false god. They offered their children. They'd get it real hot and then throw their children in it. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Defile not yourselves in any of these things, for in all the nations are defiled which I cast out before you. Boy, what a list. What a list. Now, did you notice all of those talks about nakedness? Now, it's putting it in a civilized way. These are sexual things. Everyone don't have any sexual anything to do like this. None of it. Well, you got to turn off ABC, NBC, CBS. You got to turn the radio off. You can't walk through the mall hardly. Because you don't have to uncover it. They're uncovering it for you. Amen.
That's right.
Now, that's what he cast them out for. The heathen. That's why he cast them out of this land. Now, God let them live there. If it wasn't for God in the first place, they wouldn't have been there. It's the grace of God, they lived there. And yet, they did all this knowing that it was wrong. Now, I don't care what y'all say. This is exactly where America is today.
Amen.
And you said, well, that bestiality stuff, oh, you just ain't looked around very much. It's there. It's there. And now it's pedophilia.
Yes.
It's adults wanting to uncover children.
Yes.
Come on. Amen. And they were cast out for that. And yet, if we say something about that, then they say, well, I just don't believe a loving God would do that. Well, see, the difference is God knows more and better than we do, and he knows this causes nothing but confusion.
Right.
Nothing but, and he says it, causes nothing but confusion. Now, that's the reason they were cast out. The Canaanites and the Midianites and the others, they were cast out. These are sexual sins. Do y'all understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
But look at verse 25. And the land is filed, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it. And the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Now, you know, the Russians ain't got to do a whole lot. We don't have to worry about Chinese. We got to worry about God just letting the land vomit us out itself. I mean, it's so bad the land was sick. The Bible says the earth groans waiting for the day of redemption. Here's why. You got to worry about global warming. You better worry about perverts and weirdos and all this stuff. Now look at verse 26. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments and shall not commit any of these abominations. Now wait a minute, Richard. Times have changed. God changes not. Well, wait a minute, preacher, you're just old and that's archaic. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes. Well, you need to, there's new laws now. God can't make a law that overrules God's law. That the land spew not you out also when you defile it as it spewed out the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them, shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore shall ye keep mine ordinance, that ye commit not any of one of these abominable customs. Well, wait a minute. There it is. Culture, customs. Same thing. Well, that's the San Francisco culture. It's perverted. It's sinful. It's abominable. Makes God sick. And which were committed before you, and that you defile not yourselves therein, I am the Lord your God. Well, let's review that. Number one, in chapter 19, verse 2, it teaches us this. In verse 2, it says, speak unto all the congregation of children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. In other words, he said, in order to be holy, you got to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord of hosts. Touch not the unclean thing. Now, all these are unclean things. And I'll receive you unto myself. Now, so it teaches us, first of all, separation from unholy things. You can't be holy if you're participating in unholy things. Amen? So he said, be ye holy. For instance, not just worship. Not just worship. These people go out here and live like animals and heathens, and then they come to church and they sing, oh, how I love Jesus. Well, they don't even sing that no more. It's too archaic. But they'll dance up and down and have a party, you know, and they call it worship. Well, God doesn't receive that worship. They're worshiping themselves. They're not worshiping God. Verse 3, now I'm not going to read chapter 19, but I'm going to show you this. Verse 3, you shall fear every man his mother, his father, and keep my Sabbath. I am Lord your God. Why would he put that first? Because you're to honor your father and mother, and your days on earth shall be long, he said. So, in verse 3 he says, honor your parents. In verse 3, he also says this, and keep my Sabbaths. Oh, you say that in today's society and people are trying to crucify you. What do you mean, the Lord's Day, a Sabbath? What do you mean by that? I can have a Sabbath any day I want to down on the river or down at the beach. Not the same thing. Not the same. You better keep His Sabbath. You better have a day for Him. Number 4. I just wrote down here, idols are bad. Turn not unto idols. Verse 5. Sacrifice is good. If you offer sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord, you shall offer it at your own will. Verses 6, 7, and 8, right and wrong about sacrifices. Did you know there's some sacrifices God won't accept? You know, some sacrifices God don't even want you to start. There's some that are flat out sin. Alright, and then verse 9 and 10, I want you to notice this. He said, when you reap your harvest of your land, don't reap all of it, leave the corners for poor people. Yeah. so they can get some. And in verse 10, he said, don't pick all your grapes. Don't gather all the grapes. Leave some for the poor and the stranger. He taught us charity in verse 9 and 10.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you live in a heathen lifestyle, there's no such thing as charity in a heathen lifestyle. It's every man and woman for himself. It's grab all the gusto you can get. If anybody gets in your way, run over them.
Yeah, that's right.
Verse 11. He says, don't steal. Don't lie. Don't deal falsely. Verse 12. He says, don't swear falsely. In verse 13. He says, love thy neighbor. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the next morning. In other words, pay your debts to your neighbor.
Right.
Don't borrow the lawnmower and never take it back. Write that one down, Belinda. Don't borrow the lawnmower and never take it back. We have all kind of neighbors. Verse 14. Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind. Thou shalt fear thy God. I am the Lord. You'll treat disabled people with compassion. And I know a lot of lost people think they do that, but what compassion have you if you help them upstairs, but then you can't get them to heaven? All right? And then I want you to notice verse 15. Make righteous judgments. You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Don't respect the poor nor the mighty, but in righteousness thou shalt judge thy neighbor. Oh, can't judge. You can do righteous judgment. You know right from wrong. Amen. You ought to do right. But he says, make righteous judgments. Don't favor people because they're poor. Some people favor people because they're poor. Don't do that. But don't favor them because they're rich either. Treat everybody the same. Look at verse 15. Make righteous judgment. Verse 16. Oh my goodness. This is stuff that gets you cast out of your land. Do y'all see what I'm saying? Look at verse 16. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Gossip, backbiting, lying on people. Boy, there's a bunch of them. Let me tell you something. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am Lord. In other words, don't stand against, don't take his blood. Don't get mad at him and shed his blood, okay? Now, look at verse, 17. Verse 17. This is what you do to stay in your land. You understand?
Amen.
Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin abundant. In other words, don't hate people, but don't hold back something if they need to be told if you love them. Yeah. Well, I'm scared I hurt their feelings. Well, maybe they need their feelings hurt. Amen. He says, love them, but don't hold back. If you love them, you need to tell them what's right. Amen. And verse 18. Look at verse 18. Most people don't know this one. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Now, Jesus said that. Let God do the avenging. Let God. You ain't got to fight. God do your fighting. And don't comment. Just keep your mouth shut and go on and do what you're supposed to do and let God do the fighting. Verse 19. Rules for farming. Verse 19, rules for farming. Now, look at verse 20. And whosoever lieth carnally with a woman that is bondmaid, betrothed to an husband, or not at all redeemed, nor freedom given her, she shall be scourged. They shall not be put to death because she was not free. In other words, she might not have a choice. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, even a ram for a trespass offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering before the Lord for his sin which he hath done, and the sin which he hath done shall be forgiven him. Now, look at verse, I'm sorry, I'm trying to go faster than, okay, I got time. Okay. Now, look at verse 23. Now, this is how you stay in your land. He told them mothers they're going to get kicked out. This is how you stay. Verse 23. And ye shall come into the land and shall have planted all manner of trees for food. Then shall you count the fruit thereof as uncircumcised 3 years. Don't eat it. Verse 24. The fourth year, the fruit shall be holy. It's the Lord's. Verse 25, the fifth year shall ye eat the fruit thereof that may yield unto you the increase thereof. I am the Lord. In other words, give the tree time to produce some seeds and start reproducing itself. Don't be a greedy gut and eat it before it's got time to go through what it needs to go through. Now, that's the ecological things that they accuse us of not believing. See? Oh my goodness. Verse 26. Ye shall not eat anything with the blood. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
I know that goes against a bunch of rednecks. Steak. But you ain't supposed to eat bloody food. The Bible says the life, Leviticus 17:11, I think it is, the life of flesh is in the blood, and the life belongs to God, not you. So when you take that blood, you're really taking the life of that animal, which belongs to God. You're supposed to pour the blood out on the ground. Now, I'm not talking about not eat pink or you know, rat, just bloody. That blood don't belong to you. I've seen people drink blood.
Yeah.
I've seen people mix blood with eggs and drink it. Yeah, that's sinful. Well, they say it's very nutritious. And it probably is. It probably is. But it don't belong to you. That belongs to God. And see, that also hinders you from wanting just to kill something just to drink the blood. Now, and by the way, that's where that old witchcraft vampire stuff come from. Verse 26, neither shall ye use enchantment nor observe times. You know what that is? That's witchcraft and fortune telling. Fortune telling, astrology. Enchantment is calling, casting spells on people.
Yeah.
Casting spells on people. Oh boy, verse 27, you shall not round the corners of your heads, neither shalt thou mar the corners of thy beard. Now let me explain that. The Babylonians, in the Babylonian culture, they had a certain way that the priest would cut his hair, and had a certain way he'd cut his beard, so you'd recognize him that he worshiped those gods. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead. In other words, they'd chant and they'd march around a fire or something, they'd cut themselves, in the honor of dead people. And once again, shedding blood that don't belong to them. Oh no. Maybe you better get you a eraser on this one. Nor print any marks upon you. Oh my goodness, I can't believe he said that. I know a preacher's got some. I know a bunch of preachers got them. Now, if you got them before you got saved, that's one thing. You know, we all got stupid scars from before we were saved. But now you're saved. Now you're saved. You see, when you put those marks on you, that's like an idol. It's like worshiping something else. It's rules to avoid identification with the occult.
Yes.
Which includes hair, beard, cutting the flesh, or tattoos. A girl wanted me to marry her and this fellow one time. She said, I said, he's a Christian. She said, real religious. I said, how you know? She said, well, he's got these Christian tattoos on him. He's got... Where does he go to church? He don't go to church. Now, I'm not against you if you got tattoos. I'm just telling you, this is what that God drives people out for, because these things identify these people with cultic activity. Verse 29, do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land be lest the land fall to whoredom. And the land become full of wickedness. In other words, don't prostitute your daughter, because whoredom, that's selling women and men too, that's selling them for pleasure, will destroy a country. Look at the Roman Empire. It became all about stuff like, they had prostitutes in their temple. And it was part of their worship. Greeks. They worshiped the body. Pay attention to the Olympics. They started out running naked, and they're about there again. Yeah, it won't be long. It was all about worshiping the body. All about worshiping the body. Y'all still with me, ain't you? Sex trafficking. It takes a low-down man or woman to sell their children to a bunch of heathen men and women. I mean, you can't get no lower than that. I think they'll just skip court on that one. Amen. And that's what he's talking about. It'll defile the land. It'll get, and by the way, it's getting worse every day. It ain't getting better. Down there at the border, there's thousands of them being forced into it right now. And these politicians who've sold themselves out to the drug cartels. They don't want a wall. They don't want checkpoints. They don't want to stop nobody. They won't let that keep coming in. I said enough about that. I better stop. Listen, verse 30. I got to hurry. Look at verse 30. Now, this is how to stay in God's will and keep your land. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Honor God's house. Most people have no honor for God's house anymore. They come in and act like this is a snack bar. They bring their Mountain Dew. They bring their crackers and cookies and sit around and put their feet up on the backs of the chairs and throw trash in the floor. Yeah, honor God's house, he said. I wasn't raised in church, but I knew better than most of the stuff they're doing nowadays. I never would have done that as a lost, hell-bound sinner. I had more respect. I was scared to. And you ought to be scared to. Honor God's house. Reverence. When people comes in that door, look, when they come in that door, they ought to be a different attitude than when they were out there in that parking lot. Come to worship the one and only Most High God. Whew. Man, I could preach on that one all day. And the Sabbath. Amen. Hey, keep my Sabbaths. People don't have a holy day in America anymore. And if you talk about having one, they call you a religious fanatic. Right. Even the preachers. When I got saved, I wanted to go to God's house. I wanted to. I still do. Look at verse 31. This is how we stay in the land. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. That'll cut out half your Saturday morning cartoons. That'll cut out all those little movies that these kids are watching now. They go down to the movie house to watch, what's that thing, where they're teaching them, you know, and come on, help me. What's the name of that thing where all the kids, they made the books and then they made the movies?
Harry Potter.
Yeah. Harry Potter. Someone will throw Harry in the potty. Amen. Your kids don't need to be reading that junk.
Amen.
Don't have anything to do with that kind of stuff. Wizards is where they mix up chemicals to transform people into something they are not. By the way, LSD does that. Heroin does that. Crack does that. Meth does that. Alcohol does that. He says, regard not them. In other words, don't make them your friend. Don't pay them any attention. Don't have anything. Regard not them that have familiar spirits. Familiar spirits are those that say they're speaking for the dead. A familiar spirit. They'll tell you that they can call up your dead loved one. And they can let them speak through them as they call them mediums now. Mediums. But it's the same thing. They're calling up familiar spirits. And by the way, it's either heaven or hell. That spirit's not floating around waiting to talk to you. So anything that talks through that person is a devil. Don't be deceived by that stuff. And by the way, our country is eat up with that stuff now too. Well, I like verse 32. You want to stay in the country? You want to stay in America? You don't want God to run you out? Look at verse 32. Thou shalt not rise up before the hoary head. Honor the face of the old man. And fear thy God. You remember when senior citizens used to walk in the room, especially women, the boys would stand up?
Yes.
You remember when they'd offer the seat to an older person?
Yes.
You remember when they didn't talk back to older people? You remember when they honored you and said, let me hold the door?
Yes.
Went to a church the other night, just the other night, and instead of ushers, they had young men as security guards. Wasn't nothing there but a bunch of old people like me. What'd they have to guard them from? Nobody offered to hold the door up for my wife. Instead, they stand there talking to each other on that stupid little phone. Let me tell you something. We better get back to honoring gray-headed people. You know why? They've lived a lot longer than you have. They've experienced more than you have. They know more than you do. And they're usually closer to God than the young ones are. Honor them. And I like that, especially that part, and honor the face of the old man. These kids run around here and say, I've had them call me buddy. Man, they've never called me old man. You'd have to pick them up off the floor if it did that. They've them call me man. Preach. Hey, preach. Ain't your preach, you little idiot. I'm your pastor. Yeah. I mean, here. I've had little old girls call me Ron, I'm not your Ron, I'm your pastor. You little brat, I mean little misguided. Here's what happened. We're on the third generation of people that stopped honoring the older generation. We were the first ones. Maybe four generations now. But we were the first ones to stop it. Ain't that right? We didn't respect our elders. We didn't honor older people. And therefore, our children aren't as good at it as our parents were. And their children's even less than that. And the next generation will put you to sleep when you turn 65 years old. You won't be no good anymore. Man, you want to stay in the land? Look at verse 33. I'm just about through. Chapter 19, verse 33. And if a stranger sojourn with thee in the land, ye shall not vex him. In other words, you won't ignore him, put him away, or curse him. But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you. And thou shalt love him as thyself. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. In other words, we are, listen, to what did he say in Hebrews? Be sure and entertain strangers, for some entertain angels thereby unawares. You better watch how you treat strangers. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. And I can tell many stories on that. But look at verse 35 in chapter 19. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in meat yard, in weight, or in measure. Just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hin shall you have. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Now, the ephah and the hin's money, but what he's saying is this, all their business was done with balances. And they say, well, this costs so much silver, and they dropped that little silver piece on there, and they had these little balances, and you know how they used to, the crook stick his thumb on that.
Yeah.
He put his thumb on there, or he'd put an unjust weight on the other side, really wasn't what it's supposed to be. So what's he saying, preacher? He's saying, we'll be honest in our business dealings. We'll pay our bills. I think it's a terrible thing that a Christian ever declared bankruptcy. Really? I know that's unheard of today we live in. But if everybody would pay their bills, our country would run better. You'll be honest in your deeds. Hey, if you can't pay for it, take it back. Or either go back and talk to the guy and say, I can't pay it this week. You can keep it, I'll come back and get it next week or whatever. But we'll be just in our business. You know, I used to sell beepers, and a fellow walked in one day, and I sold all kind of people, businessmen and everything. Businessman walked in one day, and he bought four pagers, we call them beepers, for his businessmen. And he paid me cash. And he walked out, and as I was counting the cash, there was two bills stuck together. They were brand new. It was two $100 bills. And I run him down. I went out the door. I said, look, you gave me too much money. He said, what? I said, you gave me an extra $100 bill. You ought to see his face. I thought he was going to faint. He said, I can't believe you ran me down to give me that $100 bill. I didn't even know I gave you. I said, I'm a Christian. I couldn't do nothing else. He said, that's unheard of. But the country we live in today, it's not.
That's right.
Now it's lie, cheat, and steal. Get all you can all you get. And then last but not least, I want you to notice verse 37 in chapter 19. Therefore shall you observe all my statutes and all my judgments and do them. I am the Lord. Now, look, can you count the letters on all this A-L-L? That's pretty easy to remember, right? A-L-L. He said, do them all. We can't cherry pick them. Well, that's the way it was in the Old Testament. I don't see a time limit on none of this. Well, that's just the way it used to be. I'm telling you, God said, do it all. Or I'll cast you out. Who was it? Khrushchev or somebody said one time, said if America's ever destroyed, it'll be destroyed from the inside, not the outside. Nobody can defeat us from, we got the Pacific Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean. Nobody can defeat us. Nobody. We're more powerful in every area than any other country. And that includes Russia and China put together. But we're being defeated. From the inside out. Now, I'm glad there's other promises in there, like if my people, which are called by my name, shall turn from their wicked ways, humble themselves. He said, seek my face. He said, then I will hear from heaven and I'll heal their land. The problem in America is not the Mexicans, or the Egyptians, or the Muslims, or the Hindus, or the blacks, or the whites. The problem in America is with people that claim to believe the Bible and don't even know what it says. Don't even know what it is. There's Republicans, a lot of Republicans that way too. A lot of them. Our churches are full of people that know nothing about the Bible. And they come in here and they want me to give them a one-line sermonette so they can be a little Christianette and go out to the kitchenette and smoke them a little cigarette. It's the truth. A dumbed down Christianity. And you know what happens when you do that? Ignorance breeds a lot of things. And it'll breed every one of these things that the other ones got cast out of that land for, and it'll breed the things that he said, don't do these things. Ignorance will do that. Biblical ignorance. And I'm going to tell you something. Our nation's pastors and preachers and evangelists are going to stand for a holy God, and they got a lot to answer for. This little convertible Christianity they got, you can be a Christian in there and be something else out yonder. God help us. And the sexual sins are probably the most prevalent of all. And then it's all those others. But you better not say anything. Well, I'm going to say it. Now, don't get me wrong. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Don't get me wrong. But at least those of us who believe the Bible, when we do sin, and we do, We'll cry out to a holy God and say, God, that's not me. That's the old me. I don't like being like that. I don't want to be like that. Help me, Lord. Yes. Or the other crowd, they brag in it and revel in it. Yes. Let's pray for our nation. Let's stand. Father.